look at a verse out of 7. First of all, chapter 7 in Matthew. And then we will try to look at a couple other verses in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the longest sermon Jesus ever preached that we have record of. And I want to just go along here. I'm just fearing. There we go. Matthew 7. And for starters, I'd like to read to you verse number 12. Verse number 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12 in your Bible. This is the Word of God. Jesus said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." What a statement. This is the law and the prophets. Now, let me read it again, verse 12. I'll ask you a little question here afterwards. It says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." What is the title that we have given to this principle in God's Word here this morning that I've just read? Brother Ken? The Golden Rule, all right? The Golden Rule. How many of you have never heard that before? Raise your hand. You never heard that, the Golden Rule, okay? Some of you, all right? And it's something that used to be very commonly taught years ago. It's called the Golden Rule. Now, you're not going to read those words, the Golden Rule, in the Bible. It's just a title we have given to this principle. The reason why we've given such a pronounced title to this principle is because the end of the verse, Jesus said, "This is the law and the prophets." This is the law and the prophets. You understand, when Jesus was preaching that day on the mount, that when he said, "This is the law and the prophets," he was saying, this is what the scriptures teach in a nutshell. You understand that? The law, when he talked to that group about the law that day, they knew that he meant the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And when he also added to that the prophets, he meant the rest of the Old Testament. Jesus is saying here in verse 12, he's saying the summation of the 39 books of the scriptures that we have today is this: whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even unto them. In a nutshell, all that these 39 books are teaching is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the law and the prophets. And I want to speak for a little while this morning on the subject of basic Christianity. Basic Christianity. I think that we are losing our way in the Christian realm from the original intent of the author of our faith, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author of Christianity. He is the leader of Christianity. He is the designer and the originator of Christianity. I think today that Christianity has lost its way in that it has become more of a business, and I might add, a very, very big business. Christianity has become a very, very big business. Christianity has become a business that is often measured by the amount of offerings the church receives, the buildings that they own, the numbers of people that attend their services, the number of converts they can count who said a prayer with some soul winner, the number of people maybe who were baptized, the number of ministries they've developed, the number of programs that they have for children or the elderly or the married people or young people or whatever it might be. And I really think that there has become a big business type of a mentality. That's what Christianity is about. It has become a competition in some cases between churches. a competition between colleges, a competition between camps. It's become a battleground over doctrines, a battleground over words, semantics, splitting hairs over issues. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? And so on. And I think in all of that, and some of that is important, but in all of that, I think we've lost our moorings. I think we've lost the original intent of the inventor of Christianity with all these things. Our church is better than your church. Our church is bigger than your church. Our church has more people than your church. Our denomination sends out more missionaries. We have larger offerings. We have more converts, more baptisms, and so on and so forth. We run more buses. And I think we've lost our moorings of the original intent. And I want to get back today in this message to a subject I call basic Christianity. Basic Christianity. And I want to bring to you three statements that Jesus made in the Sermon on the Mount that probably just floored the people that he was talking to. It probably just floored them when he heard these things said. And number one is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's un-American. But that's Christian. But that's Christian. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, Christianity is not this big business thing. It's not we're better because we're bigger. Christianity is an individual thing that is lived out by individuals who claim Jesus as their Lord. He is the author of my religion. He is the example that I follow. And basic Christianity is, number one, the golden rule. The golden rule. He only used this phrase, the law and the prophets, one other time. Turn there, Matthew 22, and we'll come right back to Matthew 5. Matthew 22, he said this in verse number 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen to this. On these two commandments hang all, here it is, the law and the prophets. So twice he defines for us what the whole body of scriptures that they had at that time meant. The whole body of scriptures, everything God ever wrote to you, Jesus is saying, is for this reason that you will love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and that second of all, you will do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule. See, we know how to love God. He tells us, love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The details are given on how to obey that first commandment. The second commandment is a little more difficult. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Everything else you do better hang from the fact that I do this because I love God and I love my neighbors. But loving our neighbors is a little bit more difficult, and so here in our text of Matthew 7, verse 12, he gives us instructions called the golden rule of how to love your neighbor. He says, as you would, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Now I wish it said this, as men have done to you, so do back to them. That's the American way. Okay? If they spite you, you spite them. If they hurt one of your children, you hurt one of them. They ignore you, you give them the silent treatment. They harm you, you find a way to harm them. You get them back. That's the American way. We're supposed to be Christians. And the Christian way, according to the leader who created our religion, said this: therefore, all things whatsoever that ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is Scripture condensed down to one statement. Everything God's been trying to tell you is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. The golden rule. Be nice to others. Whether they're ever nice to you, be nice to others, because that's how you wish they were to you. Be generous to others. Be kind to others. Be helpful to others. Pray for other people. If other people never pray for you, so what? You pray for other people. Forgive other people. If you never get any forgiveness, who cares? But forgive other people. Give to others. Show other people patience. Give people some slack. If they make a mistake, then treat them how you would want to be treated if you make a mistake. The golden rule. You know, there's a law that we all are subject to because God said it. And there's not a thing you can do to alter it. It's true in your life. It's true in my life. It says this, Galatians 6:7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now the Lord is telling us here by living by the golden rule that we will benefit. If you are kind to people all of your life, you are going to reap kindness back. If you are generous to other people, then when that season comes where you have a need in your life, God is going to make sure somebody is generous back to you. If you are kind to people, they'll be kind to you. If you help others, some guy has a flat tire along the road and there's something you can humanly do to help him, there's coming a day where you're going to have a flat tire along the road and the Lord is going to make sure he sends help to you. If you forgive others, then someday when you mess up, and you will because you're human and you're a sinner and I'm human and I'm a sinner, and there's going to come a time when you're going to hurt somebody and you're going to offend somebody. But if you have forgiveness and you forgive people and forgive them and forgive them, when the time comes where you're going to need forgiveness, you will receive forgiveness. If you are patient with people while God is working on them, people will be patient with you. We reap what we sow. Now, in its context, the paragraph begins in verse 7 and goes down through verse number 12. It is preceded by five verses that talk about prayer. Ask and it shall be given you, verse 7, and then all the way down through 11, the Lord's talking about prayer, 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 prayer. And in the context of that paragraph, he then ends up after five straight verses on prayer. He says in verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Not only will this be reciprocated back to you that live the golden rule by the law of sowing and reaping, but also it will help your prayer life. Now, are you interested today in having a better prayer life? Are you interested in today in setting yourself up in a position before God where you'll get your prayers answered? See, the Lord is saying this. He's saying, if you'll do unto others as you would have them do unto you, whether they do or not, but you do it. You give them generosity. You give them kindness. You give them help. You give them your prayers. You give them your love. You give them your forgiveness. You give them your patience. You give them money or whatever it is that they may need at that time. If you give and give and give and give and give, living by the golden rule, Then when you turn your attention upwards and you ask me to give you something, I'm going to give it to you. Because you have lived a giving life. This is basic Christianity. This is not for deep theological students in their ninth year of seminary in some Bible college. This is just not something that people who are ordained should live by. This is something every single believer should be taught. Give and give and give. And somebody says, I don't have money. Give kindness. You know something? You ought to be the kindest person that checkout lady at Walmart meets all week long. You ought to be the kindest person that man who pumps the gas in your car at the gas station meets all week long, even if he pours gas all over your car. Hey, don't worry about it. It'll wash off. You ought to be the kindest person that waitress meets in that restaurant all week long. You ought to give the biggest tip. You ought to be the kindest neighbor your neighbor could ever possibly have in all of their life. You ought to be the kindest husband that a wife could ever have or ever ask for in all of her life. You ought to be the kindest wife that a husband could possibly have. That's the golden rule. That's basic Christianity. The golden rule. It affects our reaping. It affects our sowing. It affects our prayer lives. You know, you ought to be the kindest church member that this church has. You ought to be the most generous. You ought to be the most loving, the most gentle, the most forgiving. The golden rule. We need to get back to golden rule Christianity. And, you know, Jesus, it says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He said, the Lord's will be done. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Those that you work with every single day. You should be the best Christian there. You should do unto them as you would have them do unto you. Look at chapter 5. Go back now to Matthew chapter 5. Can you imagine how that floored those people that day when Jesus preached that? Can you imagine some young man turning to his father and saying, what did he just say? I'll explain when we get home, son. I'll change it for you. That's how we often are. Well, I think I heard what he said, but by the time we're done explaining what the Bible says, we've changed the meaning entirely. I want you to notice basic Christianity is the golden rule. Number two, basic Christianity is the other cheek. The other cheek. In Matthew 5 and verse number 38, it says this, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Notice verse number 39. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, that probably went over big. Got a lot of amens on that one when the Lord preached it. A lot of shouting going on. I don't think so. But you know, we don't have too much of this other cheek Christianity going on anymore in our country. We're killing each other. Fighting with each other. Churches and camps and newspapers and colleges and individuals inside of our churches who aren't turning the other cheek. Now, there's something here I want you to notice. I believe our Lord chose his words carefully. And he said this here in verse number 39, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek. If somebody was going to smite me, and I was standing like this in front of them, where would the average person hit me if they were going to smite me, smack me in the face? They'd hit me in the left cheek. All right, why? Because most people are right-handed. I mean, if I had one shot at you, I'm not going to try to do something fancy with my left and then I'm going to hit you with my right. Right? And if I swing my right at you, where am I going to hit you? What did Jesus say? If somebody smites you on your right cheek, this word smite's an interesting word. It means to box the ear, if you look it up on your computer concordance or something. It means to box the ear. Some of you are boxing fans. I don't watch boxing. I don't have any really means to, but some of you like to watch boxing. Those of you that watch boxing, you know a little bit about boxing. What is a sucker punch? What's a sucker punch in boxing? Okay. A sucker punch usually happens when? After the bell. Okay? Now, I don't know why, but I do remember a situation. I don't know where I was watching boxing. And these guys are flailing away at each other. And the bell rings and they turn to go to their corner. They just step. That's just the rules. And I saw this guy turn to go to his corner. And as soon as he did, the other guy came around with his right. And guess where he hit him? In the right cheek. And he knocked the guy out, and they ended up having to call the fight. They disqualified the fighter, and I don't know what they call it, no contest or something. They got a word for it. He took his right and hit him on the right cheek. That's what we call a sucker punch. Now, I don't know if that's what our Lord is getting at here or not. But he says, whoever smites you, he's talking about a sudden attack. He's talking about if somebody hits you on the right cheek. Then he says to him, turn to him the other also. There are times when people attack us unexpectedly. We never see it coming. Now, it's not usually with fists. It's usually with words. It's usually with actions. And the Lord's basically saying here, I think in our text, when somebody floors you and you never expect it, how could a pastor do that? How could that church member do that? They're supposed to be Christians. How could my boss do this to me? How could my wife do this to me? How could my husband do this to me? How can this neighbor do this to me after all that I've done to them? No, the Lord says, turn the other cheek. He is telling us here that we are not to retaliate. Christians do not retaliate. What do? Turn to Romans 19. I'm sorry, Romans 12 and verse 19. Romans 12, verse 19. This is basic Christianity. The other cheek. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I want you to notice in verse number 19 that vengeance is completely in the realm of God. You and I have no business in that realm. That's his business. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I'll get around to it. So give place to wrath. In other words, let him hit you on the right cheek. Offer the left cheek also. Turn the other cheek. Now, retaliation may cause further confrontation. If you or I retaliate, the confrontation is going to escalate. But if we do not retaliate, We will shame the person hurting us, and the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, is alive and well in this world today, will convict them of their behavior and cause, as it were, coals of fire to be on their heads. I remember when I was a little boy in school, I don't know how old I was, 9, 10, 11 or something. I don't even think I was saved at the time. I didn't get saved until later. But I can remember this one particular boy in school I didn't like. And this dislike for him kept festering and festering, getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day. So finally one day I said, I'm going to do something about this. And so a little bit before class was going to start, I don't think the teacher was in the room, I went up to him and I pushed him as hard as I could. And he toppled over a desk, over a chair, and fell on the ground on the other side. I thought for sure he'd get up and retaliate. He didn't. He ignored me, went back to his seat, and a couple of the people that were around said to me, what's the matter with you? What is the matter with you? You know what I felt at that moment? Shame, guilt, conviction, embarrassment, and the confrontation was over. You know what those words are? Shame, embarrassment, conviction. You know what that is? That's called in the scriptures here mental heat. Mental heat. It's called in this verse coals of fire. And I don't know about you, I don't like feeling guilty. I hate that emotion. I don't like feeling embarrassed. I don't like feeling shame. It's just like a mental heat that comes over you. Coals of fire. And as a result of that feeling I had that day when people said, what is the matter with you? Of course, I didn't know what was the matter with me. I did get saved. I know what's the matter with me now. I'm a sinner. The Lord saved me. But I remember walking away from that confrontation thinking, boy, he never retaliated, and I feel really lousy about it. You know, sometime, like, I don't remember where it was, but sitting in lunch one day, he came up to me. They used to serve these things in the lunches at school. It was like a open thing with a bunch of cherries and a whipped cream on the top. Cherry tart, I don't know what you call it. And he gave me his. To this day, I remember that. He gave me his cherry tart. And I could never hate that kid again. That ended my confrontation with him. And I put the attention back on myself saying, well, Art, what is wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Turning the other cheek causes a person mental pain, mental heat. Matthew Henry, the great preacher and soul winner of the 1700s, said this. He said, those that revenge are the conquered. Those that forgive are the conquerors. That man forgave me that day, and he conquered in the situation when he did not retaliate. Someone once said, the best way to destroy your enemies is kill them with kindness. That's basic Christianity. The other cheek. Let me give you one more. Let's turn to verse 41 now. Back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I don't know where our economy is going, but we're going to have to start living by verse 42 a whole lot more pretty soon than we might want to. Give to him that asketh of thee. But I want you to notice verse 41. I said today, basic Christianity is the golden rule. Basic Christianity is the other cheek. And basic Christianity is number three, the extra mile. The extra mile. That's basic Christianity, the extra mile. Now let me explain what this means. When Jesus said this, believe me, this was not the most popular preaching that day on the Mount. You see, the Jews and the Christians of that day were subject to Roman tyranny. There was a law that any citizen subject to a Roman soldier or Roman official could be asked at any moment to carry that official or soldier's bags, weapons, burden for a mile, and they had to stop everything that they were doing and they had to carry that load. Romans were heartless, many of them were heartless. Many of the soldiers and government officials were very heartless. And they could say at any time, hey boy, come here. Didn't matter who you are, didn't matter how old you are, how much prestige you had, boy, come here, carry my bags. And you had to pick up that person's bags without answering back and carry them 1,000 human paces. Now, 1,000 human paces equals about 1.5 kilometers, or what we would call in English 0.9 miles, just short of a mile. And there's nothing you could do about it. And the Jews hated it. And non-Romans hated it. And so they would have to carry the burdens, and they would count it out, and by the law, the Roman soldier could not ask any more. And so you can see this happening all the time all over the Roman kingdom. 997, 998, 989, 1,000, there. And there's nothing the Roman soldier could do, and the citizen could go back to their business. Now, Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm sure this was just a great moment in this sermon. Everybody cheered and said, amen, brother, that's Christianity. He said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. That word twain means two. And I'm sure that young man looked at his father and said again, what'd he say? What was that? Son, I'll tell you when we get home. Go with him twain. And so Jesus is saying, here's this, here's what you're supposed to do. This is basic Christianity. You're carrying this. For the soldier, you go 997, 998, 999, 1,000, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. And by the fourth pace, that Roman soldier's back there standing, stopping still with his eyes this big, saying, what are you doing? Well, I thought I'd go another mile for you. Help you out today. It's basic Christianity. What do you think might happen in the heart of that Roman soldier? This guy's different. Why would you want to do this? Well, let me explain while I carry these a little farther for you. Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And we Christians just believe in honoring those that are in the government, government officials, and so on and so forth. And I just thought I'd help you out today. So you're having a little bit difficult time. Let me make your life load a little bit easier. I got a feeling that might affect some people. That might affect some citizens watching them. That might affect some soldiers. Can you imagine if everybody started doing that? I think maybe the Roman Empire could have been changed, maybe. Basic Christianity. The extra mile. The extra mile. Jesus is saying, go the extra mile. Don't do the minimum for them. Now, there's a lot of people today who are so Americanized, they isolate themselves in their homes and in front of their televisions that they don't do anything for anybody, let alone go the first mile. They're just so isolated. They're there in their little private homes and their private property, and don't let me out unless I got to maybe go to the shopping, maybe to church for an hour on Sunday, and so on and so forth. But I'm not getting involved in anybody else's life. They've never gone the first mile for anybody. Well, the Lord says, go to. You see somebody that needs some help, go the extra mile. I ran across a dear lady this week, and her apartment burned down. The two kids lost everything she owns, and what an opportunity. Everything she owns. We took her some money from the church. She was so happy, gave me a big hug. She didn't go to church. She didn't go to church anywhere. Who cares? We don't do this just so people can go to church. We do it because it's right. And I told her, I said, now listen, I have the ear of a few people in our church. I said, when you get to your new apartment and you need some stuff, let me know. And we'll try to get all the stuff you need. There's just people everywhere. You go to some of these homes and you visit on the bus routes and so on and so forth. There's just people everywhere that need some help. There's people battling addictions that need someone to do for them for a while more than the minimum. More than just the glad hand in church, good to see you today. Maybe somebody will disciple them a little bit. Take them out to a restaurant, let them know you care. Are you going the extra mile? Sunday school teachers, are you going the extra mile in your classes? And I saw one of the Sunday school classes this morning and some of the things they did for the kids, and I said, wow, that took a lot of work. It took a lot of work to do those for those kids. They're going to remember that. They're going to remember what you did. You went the extra mile this week preparing for your lesson. Do we go the extra mile for our bus routes? Do we go the extra mile for our senior citizens? Dinner's coming up. Do we go the extra mile for our children's churches? The extra mile. Basic Christianity. The golden rule. The other cheek. The extra mile. The golden rule. Actions. Treat others. Be the first. Like you want them to treat you. The other cheek, reactions. The extra mile, proaction. What's basic Christianity? Actions, reactions, proaction. How about I go an extra mile for you here? How about I help you cut that tree up that fell over in your lawn? And we'll get the timber. We'll find a place. I'll find a truck. We'll get the brush out of here. That's what Christianity is about. It's not who has the biggest church, most converts, most baptisms, most buses, not which college is the most famous, which newspapers write, which so on and so forth. It's not that. This is the stuff Jesus taught. I don't think it went over that well that day. But these are the things that are going to make a difference in people's lives. I'd like us to just try to pray this in today. Let's just bow for a word of prayer and we'll